Welcome to Clawcast, morning commute briefing for Monday, March 16th. 20 stories today. Story 1. From AR14CS.CV, VQQA, an agentic approach for video evaluation and quality improvement. Alright, so this VQQA paper tackles a big problem in video generation. Getting models to actually do what you want, especially with complex requests. Current approaches are either slow, expensive, or need access to the model's inner workings. That's a no-go for many real-world applications. VQQA is a smart fix. Imagine a team of AI agents. One asking questions about the video, another using those answers to critique the video quality. These critiques become semantic gradients, basically guiding the model to improve. It's a closed-loop system that works with just a natural language interface, so a black box approach. Why should we care? Well, think about AR device camera pipelines. VQQA could be used to automatically refine the output of a generated scene, isolate and fix rendering artifacts in real time, or fine-tune synthetic data generation. The ability to get human interpretable feedback without messing with internal model parameters would be super valuable for optimizing AR experiences, improving video quality, and reducing the need for manual tuning. They are reporting some decent jumps in quality metrics, which are promising. Next story. Story 2. From AR14CS.CV. Human knowledge integrated multimodal learning for single source domain generalization. Okay, so this paper from WACV 2026 tackles the challenge of making image classification models work reliably across different domains, specifically when you only have training data from one source. Think applying a model trained on one type of fundus images to another type, or seizure detection in fMRIs. The core idea is to use multimodal vision language models, integrating both image data and human knowledge. They introduce GeniVal, which leverages foundational models like MedGemma, fine-tuned with low-rank adaptation, or LoRA. They also introduce domain conformal bounds, DCB, a theoretical framework to evaluate whether domains diverge in unknown causal factors. Why should you care? Well, for AR and imaging, domain generalization is huge. Think about the variability in camera sensors, lighting conditions, and user populations that AR devices encounter. This kind of research could lead to more robust camera pipelines and image processing algorithms that are less sensitive to those differences. So, a model trained in a controlled lab environment might actually generalize to the messy real world that AR devices have to navigate. Next story. Story 3. From AR14EAS.4. Multiscale structure-guided latent diffusion for multimodal MRI translation. Alright, so this paper tackles the problem of creating missing MRI modalities, which is crucial for situations where you have incomplete scans. Think about how often AR overlays medical imaging, and inaccurate or missing data messes up the whole experience. These researchers propose a new framework called MSGLDM, short for Multiscale Structure-Guided Latent Diffusion Model. The cool part is they disentangle style, modality-specific characteristics, from structure in the latent space. Basically, they teach the model to separate the look of each MRI type from the underlying anatomical information. Then, they use the available modalities to predict the complete structural information, including both the low-frequency layout and those crisp high-frequency boundary details. They enforce this separation with style consistency and structure-aware losses. Why does this matter for you? Well, more accurate MRI translation directly feeds into better AR overlays for medical applications. Imagine using this technique to generate missing modalities, creating complete datasets, then using those to train robust computer vision models that provide anatomical understanding in augmented reality. Could lead to much more reliable and informative AR experiences in healthcare. Next story. Story 4. From AR14CS.RO. A learning-based approach for contact detection, localization, and force estimation of continuum manipulators with integrated OFDR optical fiber. Okay, so this paper from Tavangrafard and team tackles contact sensing for continuum manipulators. Think of these as super flexible, snake-like robots used in tight spaces, often in medical applications. The challenge is knowing where and how hard these robots are touching things without having traditional force sensors all over them. Their approach is pretty clever. They embed an optical fiber with OFDR optical frequency domain reflectometry along the manipulator. OFDR basically gives you dense strain measurements along the fiber. They then use a two-stage machine learning setup. First, a gradient boosting classifier detects if there's contact. Then, a CNN-FiLM model estimates both where the contact is located along the robot and the force applied. Now, why is this interesting to us at Reality Labs? Well, think about AR interaction. The core of the paper deals with taking noisy, distributed sensor data, like strain, and inferring meaningful information. Contact and force. We're constantly dealing with similar problems, extracting intent from complex sensor signals. It could inform how we interpret user gestures, or even how we build more robust and intuitive haptic feedback systems. Ultimately, better understanding of force and contact has huge implications for more realistic AR interactions. Next story. Story 5. From AR14CES.0. Push, press, slide. Mode-aware planar contact manipulation via reduced order models. Okay, so this IROS 2026 paper, push, press, slide, tackles the tricky problem of planar object manipulation, like pushing things around with a robot arm or two. Think pick and place, but more complex contact dynamics. These kinds of manipulations are tough to control because of unpredictable friction under actuation and the complexity of how things touch. This traditionally leads to heavy computation and iterative control schemes. The core idea here is to simplify the problem by using reduced order models. They're building a library of these models, each representing a different contact scenario, like a simplified unicycle model for press and slide. They then map different robotic arm configurations to these simplified models. This allows them to quickly figure out the forces needed to manipulate the object without a bunch of complex calculations. It's basically abstracting away the messy physics into manageable, physically intuitive chunks. Now, why do you care? Well, precise object manipulation is critical for a seamless AR experience. Imagine a robot assisting in assembling an AR device or interacting with virtual objects in a believable way. This paper's fast, optimization-free approach for determining contact forces could translate to more responsive and realistic interactions in AR environments, especially for tasks involving fine motor control or manipulating small parts we're trying to image and augment. A big deal if we want robots to intelligently assemble and interact with the components of our AR headsets. Next story. Story 6. From AR14CES.HC. Ella. Generative AI-powered social robots for early language development at home. Okay, so this paper, titled Ella, Generative AI-powered social robots for early language development at home, tackles the challenge of providing scalable, high-quality language learning support to preschoolers at home. They're addressing the problem that many families lack access to resources that can really boost a child's early literacy. Their approach centers around an autonomous social robot, Ella, powered by generative AI. Ella interacts with kids through storytelling, dialogue, and personalized language targets set by the parents. The researchers used a human-centered design process, involving parents and educators in refining the robot through workshops and then testing it with children at home. Now, why this might be relevant for us in AR and imaging? Think about integrating similar AI-driven, interactive learning experiences into AR devices. The insights they gained about child engagement, robot design, and natural language interaction are crucial for creating compelling and effective AR applications for kids. We could potentially leverage their findings to design more natural and intuitive interfaces, improve camera-based interaction for object recognition and scene understanding in educational AR, and even explore using generative AI to create personalized, real-time learning content within an AR environment. Next story. Story 7. From Road to VR. Quest reached record number of users in 2025, pushing 100 VR apps over $1 million in gross revenue. Here's the summary. Meta's director of games, Chris Pruitt, announced at GDC that Quest usage hit an all-time high in 2025. This user base helped over 100 VR apps gross over $1 million last year. The Meta Horizon Store revenue saw slight growth compared to 2024, which is significant since there wasn't a major hardware launch to boost sales in 2025. Premium app sales remain the biggest revenue driver, but in-app purchases grew over 10%, suggesting a diversification of monetization within the platform. More IAP apps are now reaching the $500,000 plus revenue mark, up 20%. Subscription revenue is still a relatively small part of the overall VR ecosystem. While Meta recently shut down some first-party studios, their Oculus publishing arm still plans to ship more games this year, following 140-plus games shipped last year. Key takeaway: the Quest platform is showing healthy growth and diversification in revenue streams despite industry headwinds. Next story. Story 8. From Road to VR. Former Oculus CTO calls Meta's 30% VR dev fee wasteful churn in face of subsidizing individual apps. Okay, so Road to VR is reporting that John Carmack, formerly Oculus CTO, is criticizing Meta's 30% fee on Horizon Store VR app sales. He calls it wasteful churn. His point is Meta subsidizes developers to create content for the Quest, but then takes a big cut of their revenue. He suggests that's just moving money around unnecessarily. Carmack highlights Epic's model where developers keep 100% of revenue up to the first million, arguing that's a better incentive for economic activity. Tim Sweeney chimed in, saying the $1 million threshold works well for Epic, largely because of their lower 12% cut after that. Road to VR notes that sideloading exists as an alternative, but it's not really a true competitor to the Horizon Store. Plus, Meta is unlikely to disable it since it is Android-based. The author thinks a lower take rate would probably benefit developers more, and that it is likely Meta would change its behavior to adapt. Next story. Story 9. From Road to VR. Valve reveals requirements for Steam Frame Game Certification. Valve has revealed the requirements for Steam Frame Game Certification. To get the Steam Frame Verified badge, games running natively on the headset must hit a minimum of 90 frames per second. This is significantly higher than the Quest's 72 frames per second target. Non-VR games require only 30 frames per second at 720p. A legible UI and full Steam Frame controller support are also required. Games that are verified or playable on Steam Deck are automatically tested. For PC VR, the direct Wi-Fi 6 connection and foveated streaming are expected to work without special integration or verification. Valve claims, if it runs well on your PC, it will run well on Steam Frame. The jump to 90 frames per second represents about a 25% increase in rendering workload. Expect to see more non-VR games certified at launch. Next story. Story 10. From Upload VR. Subcontractors see intimate Meta AI visual queries from smart glasses. Hey, I saw a piece in Upload VR that you should be aware of, given your work. Apparently, subcontractors are reviewing visual queries from Meta smart glasses, specifically those using Meta AI's Look and Ask functionality. The problem is accidental activations. With the updated AI, the glasses can misinterpret ambient speech as prompts, capturing images and short video clips without the user intending to. These clips are then sent to contractors in places like Kenya for review and accuracy assessment. The concerning part is that reviewers are seeing very private, accidentally captured scenes. Think people naked at home, sensitive documents, things like that. Meta claims the LED indicator and blurring filters protect privacy, but the reviewers say the filtering isn't perfect. It's essentially a privacy risk arising from the combination of ambient listening, potentially flawed AI trigger logic, and human review of the resulting data stream. Something to keep in mind for the privacy implications of always-on visual AI. Next story. Story 11. From Upload VR. Spacious Places Hands-On, Musical Meditation. Spacious Places, a new VR app for Meta Quest, offers a musical meditation experience. Think of it as a quick, accessible digital escape for stress relief. The app provides 18 calming environments, complete with vistas, a breathing exercise mode, and virtual instruments to play. The reviewer at Upload VR found it effective in reducing stress and neck stiffness after only 30 minutes. While it's not a replacement for real-world self-care, the environments are visually appealing, the instruments are easy to use, and the overall experience promotes relaxation. It's a free download with a demo level. The full version costs $12.99, with a temporary 20% discount. Worth exploring for a brief, tech-based break. Next story. Story 12. From Meta Research Blog. Build faster with Buck2, our open source build system. Hey, just saw that Meta Research open sourced Buck2, their new build system. It's a complete rewrite of Buck1, designed for speed and efficiency, and they're claiming a 2x build speed improvement internally. The core is written in Rust, while language-specific rules like for C++ are in StarLark. This core/rules separation enables easier modification of the rules. Key difference from previous systems is that it uses a single incremental dependency graph rather than phases. They've designed it for remote execution using the same API as Bazel, and it also integrates with virtual file systems like Sapling. They're releasing almost the entire internal version, only swapped out the toolchains and remote execution, but provide open source alternatives. Definitely worth checking out if you're wrestling with build times, especially at scale. Next story. Story 13. From Meta Research Blog. Introducing Segment Anything, working toward the first foundation model for image segmentation. Meta AI has released Segment Anything, aiming to be the first foundation model for image segmentation. This project includes the Segment Anything model, or SAM, and the Segment Anything 1 billion mask dataset, SA1B, the largest of its kind. SAM is a promptable model trained on a diverse dataset, enabling zero-shot transfer to new image domains without retraining. It's designed to reduce the need for specialized expertise and custom data annotation. For you at Reality Labs, think of SAM's potential in AR/VR. Imagine gaze-based object selection for instant 3D extraction. More broadly, SAM could enhance content creation by simplifying region extraction and boost scientific studies by automating object localization in videos. The team believes it has broad applications with more to come. The model and dataset are available to explore under open licenses. Next story. Story 14. From Meta Research Blog. Two Meta Sustainability Grant and Scholarship Recipients Share Impact. Meta is investing in sustainability through grants and scholarships. In 2022, they gave $75,000 to Oregon's Crooked River Watershed Council and Deschutes Land Trust. The money is being used for habitat restoration and improved community access at the Echoco Preserve, including building a salmon passage in Echoco Creek. The project involves excavating soil, replacing bridges, and planting native vegetation to create new floodplains and wetlands. Completion is expected in spring 2024. Meta also donated $1.75 million to the University of Maryland Center for Community Engagement, Environmental Justice, and Health. The center works to ensure equitable access to resources and healthy environments, addressing environmental justice issues for vulnerable populations affected by climate change. Their work focuses on partnerships to reduce contamination, improve environmental quality, and enhance community health. Next story. Story 15. From Hugging Face Blog. Introducing storage buckets on the Hugging Face Hub. Hugging Face has launched storage buckets on the hub, aimed at addressing the limitations of Git for managing intermediate ML files like checkpoints and logs. These buckets offer mutable S3, like object storage browsable on the hub and accessible via Python or the Hugging Face CLI. The key feature is Zet, Hugging Face's chunk-based storage backend. Zet deduplicates content across files, skipping already existing bytes, which leads to faster transfers and efficient storage, especially suitable for related ML artifacts like successive checkpoints. For performance, pre-warming brings hot data closer to compute resources in specific cloud regions, reducing latency for distributed training and large-scale pipelines. Currently partnered with AWS and GCP, with more cloud providers planned, you can quickly create buckets via the Hugging Face CLI. Next story. Story 16. From Hugging Face Blog. Granite 4.01b Speech. Compact, multilingual, and built for the edge. IBM has released Granite 4.01b Speech, a compact speech language model targeting edge applications. It's designed for multilingual ASR and bidirectional speech translation. The model boasts improved English transcription accuracy and faster inference due to speculative decoding, despite having half the parameters of its predecessor. Language support now includes English, French, German, Spanish, Portuguese, and Japanese. New features are Japanese ASR and keyword list biasing, which helps with names and acronyms. Granite 4.01B speech topped the OpenASR leaderboard, demonstrating strong performance for an open speech recognition system. It achieves competitive word error rates on standard English ASR benchmarks with far fewer parameters than comparable models. The model is released under Apache 2.0 and has native support in transformers and VLLM. For production, they suggest pairing it with Granite Guardian for additional risk detection. Next story. Story 17. From OpenAI blog. Rakuten fixes issues twice as fast with Codex. So, the OpenAI blog has a piece on Rakuten using Codex to improve their development velocity. Basically, Rakuten saw a twofold speedup in fixing code issues after integrating Codex into their workflow. They're primarily using it for automated bug identification and correction. The core idea is that Codex allows their engineers to offload some of the more repetitive debugging tasks, letting them focus on higher-level problems and architectural improvements. While the article doesn't delve into specific technical details about the Codex integration, the key takeaway for us is the significant reduction in bug fix time. This suggests potential avenues for exploration in automating aspects of our camera pipeline debugging or ISP tuning processes, specifically around error detection and automated suggestions for parameter adjustments. Next story. Story 18. From OpenAI blog. From model to agent. Equipping the responses API with a computer environment. Hey, so OpenAI just released an update to their responses API that's pretty interesting for our work. They've integrated a real sandboxed computer environment directly into the API. Basically, the agent can now execute JavaScript code and interact with websites through controlled cookie handling. This allows the API to move beyond purely language-based responses and actually do things like scrape current data or test website functionality. Think of it like giving the language model a miniature executable playground. For us, this could unlock new possibilities in AR interaction. Imagine the agent dynamically adapting to user interfaces, debugging code in real time, or even building simple AR applications on the fly. The key takeaway is enhanced agency. The model can now operate in a web environment, not just understand it. Definitely worth a deeper dive. Next story. Story 19. From OpenAI blog. Improving instruction hierarchy in frontier LLMs. Hey, so OpenAI released a blog post about improving instruction following in frontier LLMs. Basically, they found that refining the instruction hierarchy is crucial for better performance. They're seeing improvements by explicitly defining what constitutes a good response and then training the model to specifically optimize for that. The key takeaway for us seems to be the emphasis on a structured and well-defined reward signal. Instead of just broadly training for helpful or accurate, they're seeing gains from clearly delineating different levels of quality in the response. This mirrors some of the reward shaping work we do in ISP tuning, so it might be worth a closer look to see if these techniques could be adapted for optimizing specific aspects of AR device performance or even influencing camera pipeline behavior through learned priors. Next story. Story 20. From Google DeepMind blog. Gemmascope 2. Helping the AI safety community deepen understanding of complex language model behavior. Google DeepMind just released Gemmascope 2, a suite of open-source interpretability tools for the entire Gemma 3 family of language models, ranging from 270 million to 27 billion parameters. Think of it as a microscope for these LLMs. Gemmascope 2 lets you trace potential risks across the model's entire brain using sparse autoencoders and transcoders. This allows researchers to look inside the models, see what they're thinking about, and understand how these thoughts connect to behavior. The upgrade includes full coverage across all Gemma 3 sizes, which is crucial for studying emergent behaviors that only appear at scale. It also includes more refined tools like skip and cross-layer transcoders to decipher multi-step computations. They've even added tools specifically for analyzing chatbot behavior. The hope is that Gemmascope 2 will help the AI safety community debug emergent model behavior, audit AI agents, and develop more robust safety interventions. That's your Clawcast briefing. Have a good commute.